All right, let's continue in our book of Jeremiah. We're Jeremiah chapter 38 last time, and we stopped at verse number 9. So if you have your sheets or your Bibles, either one, top of page 83 is what it is in the sheet, verse number 10. Let's read verse 10, 11, and 12. You notice on the top of this sheet, I titled it, Jeremiah Sunk in Miry Dungeon. They'd left them down in the pit, and there's no water, there's nothing there at all, but mire. He's sunk in the mire. Let's read verses 10, 11, and 12 together, beginning of verse 10. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, put now these cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. Now, what king was it that allowed him to be going into the dungeon? Remember his name? Zedekiah, King Zedekiah. Now, who was responsible? Did Zedekiah really want to throw him into the dungeon? The princes, the rulers, those underlings that were under him. He wasn't a very strong king in that regard. But when Jeremiah was down there in that dungeon without any water, without any help, in verse number 10, he took action. What action did he take? He what? He had told him this Ethiopian, Ebed-Melech, and he's from northern Africa. That's where Ethiopia is, up in this northern part of Africa. And commanded him, probably a Negro man from Ethiopia. We're not sure if that's probably the case. Did he want to do it alone? No. 30 different men. Now, does it take 30 men to pull up one man? Why do you suppose he wanted 30? There may have been a fight, all right? There may have been some princes who were not wanting to be pulled out. The prince wanted him to die there, but the king did not want him to go out. Notice, get him out of the dungeon before he died. What would that indicate about the conditions of that dungeon? Very bad, and certainly he could bring forth that. If you notice in verse 9, there's no more any bread in the city, and they gave him bread and water down there, but there was no more bread, so he could starve to death if he didn't come up. Well, did Ebed-Melech, now remember last time we talked about the derivation of Ebed and Melech. What did we say Ebed was? Remember? That's the servant. Ebed is a servant. And Melech? King. It's a servant of the king. Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian. So he was a servant, and he obeyed. Now, in verse 11, he obeyed, he took with him the men, went to the house of the king under the treasury. And what did he use to draw him out? Did he have some rope? He didn't have any rope. What did he use instead? Old rags and so on, tied them together. Have people escaped from prison by using rags? Remember, they tie these rags in bedclothes and sheets and come down the wall, you've seen that, and get out. Well, this is the same type of situation, tied together, and rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon. And then, what did he tell Jeremiah to do there in verse 12? Well, how was his method of getting him out of there? To put him out under thine armholes. In other words, apparently, there were some cords in verse 11, you know, rope and so on, but the cast clouts were maybe a little bit less abrasive, more soft to put under his armpits so they wouldn't hurt him as they dragged him up and pulled him up. And did Jeremiah obey it? He said, no, I like it down here. He did not like it. He said, let's go. He did it. Now, let's read verses 13, 14, and 15 together. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? All right, so in verse 13, Well, I think the cast clouts is what the them goes back to, honey. the rotten rags and class clouts, let them, that is the cores, let the core of the class clouts down and see. That would be the them. Right? That's a good point, though, the them. You have to refer back. Yeah. Well, probably not, because you see, you just had one group of class clouts, put them under that armholes and under the cords, and so he did it, see. Yeah, that's all right. So what happened then in verse 13 that it was a successful? Yes, they drew him up with cords and took him out of this dungeon. And what would you say a dungeon was? This was a hole in the ground, wasn't it? That's a place to confine some people. And this is where it was. And so where was Jeremiah then after he got out of the dungeon? The court of the prison. So he was still under some sort of a guard, at least. And then what curiosity did Zedekiah the king have? Did he have any curiosity at all as far as what was going to take place? Who did he talk to? Who did he ask about this thing? All right. And how did Jeremiah know what the Lord had said? The Lord had spoken to him. He was a prophet of the Lord. He was in tune with the Lord. And he knew the Lord's will. He knew the Lord's word. And so he wanted to ask something. Now, when you ask something of someone, do you ask someone that doesn't know the answers usually? No. You usually ask someone that does know the answers. In other words, so apparently this Zedekiah had a knowledge of Jeremiah and really believed that he knew what he was going to talk about. Come in, Bonnie. And that's Tom. Oh, that's Joe. There's Tom. Tom Otto and Joe. Good to see you. Come right up in here. Oh, listen, pass up one of those sheets, please, would you, Bonnie? Good to see you. Yeah, where are those sheets? Oh, there they are. Okay, just take one each. That's Tom Otto, that's Dolly. Sorry. And this is Joe, and this is Bonnie. And that's Bob Morris back there. There's a new one, so be sure to say hello. Then the Faith and Evan. All right, we're over there in Jeremiah chapter 38, and we're in verse 14. So take that and hide it. We talked about Zedekiah sent, and he wanted to know something of Jeremiah. And as we said, when you have somebody that doesn't know anything about anything, you usually ask them questions. Well, you don't usually ask them questions. You usually ask questions of someone that does know. What does this indicate about Zedekiah's faith in Jeremiah? That he believed him, that he believed he was a true prophet. Now, there's a lot of false prophets, and here's the king. He was a wishy-washy king that wasn't strong. He let the princes put Jeremiah into the dungeon with no water, nothing at all, sunk in the mire. He wasn't strong. He let the princes, but now he goes secretly to Jeremiah. He wants to know the truth, apparently. Hide nothing from me. In other words, he wanted everything. Now, when you know something about something, you always tell all the truth that you know to somebody that asks you? Sometimes, in kindness, you hold back a little, see? If somebody says something about you, for instance, and you say, what did they say? Well, sometimes you don't want to say the full truth because it would be very embarrassing and very hard. But he says, hide nothing from me. So then in verse 15, did Jeremiah really trust Zedekiah? And if not, what does it indicate here? Why do you think he didn't trust him? You're going to put me to death, see? Now, you see, that's a strange thing. When somebody gets you out of jail, out of dungeon, and asks you a question, what does the Lord want to do with you, what do you want to say, and you're still in fear of death, this is a strange thing. So Zedekiah, he didn't know exactly whether he was going to give in to the princes again. The princes got him into the dungeon. The king said, all right, princes, take him. Did the people in Jeremiah's day and in his area want him alive or dead? Dead. This was a very, right through Jeremiah, the past chapters, they wanted to kill him. Why did they want to kill him? He wasn't speaking smooth things? What was he speaking? Judgment and the Word of God and the truth. And they didn't want to hear the truth, see. Just like today, they didn't want to hear the truth. So they wondered, are you going to put me to death? Now, also, a second question Jeremiah asked of Zedekiah. What was that? In verse 15. Okay, if I give you counsel, will you hearken? In other words, what does hearken mean? Listen and actually follow through and obey. All right? In other words, is it important that we hearken? Or is it just that we know what the will of God is and just say, well, I'll think about it? You better do it. If God's will is to do certain things, we ought to do it and follow through and not just say, well, I want to sit on it. So he said, well, by hearken. All right, let's read now verse 16, 17, and 18 together. So Zedekiah the king swore secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth, and made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live, and thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. Find in verse number 16. What was Zedekiah's promise to Jeremiah? Not going to kill him. Not going to kill him. As the Lord liveth, and made this soul, not put thee to death. What else would he not do? Turn him over to these princes that wanted him to be killed. So he was not going to do anything of the kind, and I trust that Jeremiah believed him, because he continued. And so in verse 17, what was the first thing that Jeremiah told Zedekiah the king that would happen and that he should do? What is it? Okay, go with the Babylonians. In other words, assuredly go forth under the king of the Babylon's princes, all the rulers that were coming after him. And if he would do that, what would happen? He would live. His soul would live. What about the city? What about Jerusalem? Would not be burned with fire. I shall live in that. Now that's, as we said before last week, that seems like it's a giving up of things. But that was the punishment of that they would be into captivity. All the way from Jerusalem, over Jerusalem, clear over to Babylon, thousands of miles away from their homeland because of their sin. How long did God promise to take them over there? How long would they be over there? 70 years of captivity into Babylon. This was his punishment. And that's all he said. You give yourself over to Babylon and the city will be spared. Very simple thing. And your wife and husband, your wife and your family and thine house shall live, and the city won't be burned with fire. Now, on the other hand, yes, Joanne. Well, I think as the king, he turned himself over, and probably the rest of the people that were underneath him, too, would all of them just go right on over and give up to the king of Babylon. Now, in our country, that would consider to be treason. That would be considered to be not true, and we don't operate that way. When the enemy comes over, the Lord's not going to tell us to give in to the communists or the Hitlerians or the Nazis or the Muslims or whatever. We fight for our homeland. That's our natural thing. But this was a penalty of God. It was a penalty against God's people. It was God's land, and they had sinned against him. And so this was the penalty. And so, just see, some people now have used the surrender technique, and they've used this as a quotation from the Bible, saying, let's surrender to the devil. Surrender to the false armies. That's not what this is illustrating. This was specifically a penalty that God has given to his people because of their sins. That's not the pattern of surrendering to our enemies that would take us away, our homes, and make us slaves. But that would be the night. On the other hand, the verse 18, what's the opposite if he refused to give in to the king of Babylon? What was going to happen? They would take the city and burn it with fire. What about Zedekiah's life? He would not escape out of that. So, in other words, it's a foregone conclusion. Either go in as a captive and live, even though you're in a captive country over in Babylon, or fight this thing and you're going to die. The city's going to be burned. It'll all be taken care of. And then in verse 19, did we read that one? Okay, let's read 19, 20, and 21 together. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee. so shall it be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. Is that, that's those three verses, okay. Now, so in verse number 19, did Zedekiah obey instantly, say, I will do it? What was his problem? Who was he afraid of? Was he a Jew also? Yes, he was. The Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, theirs that have given up, or unless they deliver me to their hands, that they mock me. When God, what did God promise to Zedekiah if he gave himself over to the Chaldeans? What did he promise him? What is it? That he would live, his life would be there. He promised him life. And here, he's afraid that the Jews would deliver them into the hand. They mock him. He's afraid a little of a mockery. And what did Jeremiah respond? Yes. What did Jeremiah respond to that? Would they deliver him to mock him? No. What was the command that Jeremiah urged the king? Obey. Now, that's God's command for any of us. The things of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Obey the word of God. And that's what our job is to do. I beseech thee, obey the voice of the Lord. Where does the voice of the Lord today? In the Bible, the word of God. That's why we stand for our King James Bible. We believe the most accurate translation of the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, and the obeying the voice of the Lord. Do all people in this world obey the voice of the Lord? Do all people in this world even know what the voice of the Lord is? Before you obey, must you know what the voice is? Yes. Just because you know it doesn't mean you're going to obey it. But you've got to know it. That's why we urge our people to read Genesis to Revelation and know what's in the Word of God for us, illustrations. Obey the voice of the Lord. That's the sweetest thing, the most important thing that all of us can do is to be obedient. And God will bless us for it. Which I speak unto thee. Jeremiah was a representative. And then because of that, what would happen if he did obey? Well with him, thy soul shall live. Now that's a wonderful thing. It is well with my soul is one of the hymns that we sing. And peace like a river attendeth my soul. And sorrow like sea billows roll. The well with my soul, as the hymn writer said. And being obedient, God has promised that our souls will be well. Souls will be happy, we'll be in fellowship with the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit then be ours, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But in verse 21, what's the opposite? If he refuses to obey, what's going to happen? He told him, this is the word the Lord has showed me, and so he's going to pronounce him what the details of what's going to happen should he not be obedient to the things of the Lord. Let's hear from some of our other people, maybe. Hello?
Hi, Dad.
Yes.
I
got your message, but okay. Yeah, we're right in the middle of Bible study. I'm going to call you as soon as we finish. Okay, that's all right. I'll call you right back after. Bye-bye. Yeah, that was Diane. You know, she came here visiting us and helped us out for about 5 days. Very good indeed. And I told her about, I went to the doctor, and he said, get one of these socks, you know, that helps with the swelling of the leg. And so she's interested in that because she was our nurse, you know, for 5 days, helping, very good helper indeed. So she gave us a call. I thought maybe it was one of our people on the video pad. She forgot. All right, so the word of the Lord has shown. Let's read verse 22, 23, and 24 together. And behold, all the women that are left in the house of the Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. All right, in verse 22, if he disobeyed and didn't give himself to the Chaldeans and Babylonians, what would happen? All right, all the women that are left, those that didn't go down to Egypt or escape in some other way, all the women will go forth, be brought forth. What does that indicate? Is that a willingness? No, brought forth by force. Brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And The women shall say what? Thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed. And so thy feet are sunk in the mire, they are turned away back. In other words, the women will be taken, and they will be made captives, and they will be probably raped and tortured and everything else that the Chaldeans would do to such a situation. A terrible price the king would have to pay for disobedience to the word of God. Every disobedience to God's word, there is a price to pay. If a sinner says, I don't want to trust Christ as my Savior, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm bound for hell, but I refuse to be saved, what price will that sinner pay? Hell of fire, the lake of fire. See, this is a serious thing. Everything, disobedience. And when, if you are saved tonight, if you're born again, and God has commanded you or me to do something, we refuse to do it, how does God deal with us if we're His children? He chastens us. There's chastisement, isn't it? And that discipline of His, because He loves us, and He wants us to obey Him. And so this is what happened. Thy friends are set upon thee. That'd be terrible with these women. And then in verse 23, what will the Chaldeans do here? All his wives. Now, apparently that indicates that Zedekiah had some wives, more than one wife, which is not New Testament. It's Old Testament. A lot of them had a lot of wives, starting with Solomon and David and so on. And thy children, what's going to happen to them? Taken by the Chaldeans. So here's a husband. He's the king of the land, that's true, but he's the husband. He's got a family, he's got a wife, he's got children, he's got several wives. And his decision will result in danger or not danger for his wives and his children. So it's not just himself. Isn't that true of any family? That's where a lot of families get in difficulty. The husband, who should be in charge of the home, makes a wrong decision, the whole house is upset. And this is the thing we're here. If he doesn't make the right choice, his wives and children will be in trouble. And what else will happen in verse 23? Not escape out of their hand. Now, you see, if that's the case, where is Zedekiah going to end up, according to this? Where is Zedekiah the king going to end up? In the captivity in Babylon. Well, if he gave himself over to the king of Babylon, where would he end up? In Babylon, right? Same place. But what would the conditions be if he gave himself up versus if he didn't give himself up? He'd have a life, he'd be free, he'd be there as a captive, but he'd be free to do what he wanted to if he obeyed and went willingly. What if he didn't go? His wives and children wouldn't be hurt. The women of the city wouldn't be hurt. The city wouldn't be burned. If he refused to do it willingly, all these other things would be... He's ending up in the same place. Now, Jonah was told by the Lord to go to Nineveh and preach against the city. And as soon as he was commanded that, he went completely in a different direction. How did the Lord bring him back to Nineveh? By a fish, a huge, great fish that the Lord prepared and vomited him out. He went right back. See, the Lord has his way of bringing us back to the place where we departed. And the only way to get back on track is to come back to the place where you left off. Am I right? Wherever the path is. I know going to some place just recently, I don't remember where it was, up in New York State, I guess it was, up at the meetings. We got onto a wrong route, and we decided, well, how are we going to get to the right route? That's coming back, I guess, from our meetings in New York. Coming back, we're on the absolutely wrong route. The decision had to be made. Continue going on the wrong route and hope we get off a sidetrack, or turn around and go right back to where we knew we were run off. And I decided to go back. That's exactly what we did. We got on the right route. It was beautiful. But I tell you, it was really very hairy after going in the wrong direction. And so this is what, been there, done that, right? But if you didn't do that, they'd be taken by the hand, I shall cause the city to be burned with fire, verse 23. All right, let's read verse 24, 5, and 6 together. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, thou shalt not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with thee, and they come unto thee, and say unto thee, declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death. Also what the king said unto thee. Then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. All right? Did Zedekiah want this to be a public meeting? Did he? No, he said, but no man know these words, and thou shalt not die. Now here again, he said he wasn't going to kill him, now he says you won't die. Now what was true? Why did Zedekiah say that? What did he mean? It was a threat, wasn't it? It was a threat. Now, that's a terrible thing. Zedekiah was not an honorable king, was he? Not an honorable man at all. And Jeremiah knew that, and that's why he asked the question, are you going to put me to death? And then he says, no, but I says, then thou shalt not die if you keep it quiet. And then he talked about the princes in verse 25. What was he to say if the princes heard about it? They come and they say, declare unto us, hide it out from us, we will not put thee to death. So here's another death threat, isn't it? What the king said unto thee. If this happens, then in verse 26, what should the answer be? Just a supplication, he asked him, so on and so forth, that he would not cause me to what? Jonathan's house to die there. In other words, in the dungeon and all these other things. That was, now, was that a true statement or a lie? It was a lie, wasn't it? But this is what the king had framed regarding the princes to say. Let us read verse 27 and 28 together. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. So did the princes come then? And were they interested in what he talked about the king? They asked him, and he told them, did Jeremiah tell the truth, or did he lie? He really did lie. But he did present his supplication, that's true. So maybe it's part of the truth, but he didn't come clean to the thing. But thou shalt say, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Well, I suppose part of that was right. He didn't go on and say anything more. He didn't tell the whole truth. This may have been a partial truth. He didn't tell the whole truth as far as all the details about giving himself over to Babylon, the king of Babylon. And were the princes satisfied with the answer? Yeah, they were satisfied. And they left off speaking with him. The matter was not perceived. So it was hidden. So what was the fate then of Jeremiah? What happened to him after that? Did he die? No. He lived, and where did he live? Court of the prison, until when? Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Now, those of you who don't have your Bibles open, turn to Jeremiah 39. We've run out of our copy machine thing, but if you have the Bible open there, what page of our Bible is it, in case people don't want to see it quickly? What page is Jeremiah 39? What is it? No, I mean the regular Bible, under the 1054, right? 1054, Jeremiah 39, number 1054, if you have one of our Bibles underneath the seat. Whatever. You got it? All right. Underneath the seat, you got your Bible. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3 of Jeremiah 39. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up, and all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Then Nergal-Sharezer and Shagar-Nebo, Sharshakim, Rabsaris, Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. A lot of big names there, aren't they? A lot of big names. The year of Zedekiah's reign did this take place. Ninth year. This is the final captivity now of Judah. And the ninth month, or tenth month rather, Nebuchadnezzar was the name of the king of Babylon, wasn't it? And did he come alone by himself? Chapter 39, verse 1. All of his army came with him. What did he do with the city? What does that mean, they besieged? Grounded it, cut off the supplies, nobody could get in or out, starved him to death, no supplies, and absolutely In fact, it says in other places some of the women would eat their children, and there would be cannibalism and a terrible thing in the famine that took place. Just think, all Zedekiah had to do was give himself up, city would be spared. What a willful, wayward, stubborn king this was. Yeah, it's a sad thing, isn't it? It's a sad thing, but he did not believe Jeremiah, did he? He did not believe him at all. I don't think Jeremiah believed the king either about this being dying, getting put to death and so on. Then because the king and all his army, what year was it of Zedekiah now? So here's the ninth year, and now it's the 11th year, fourth month, and the city was broken. How many years did they besiege it, roughly? 2 years. Any food from without, and all you have is what you have in your icebox. You starved to death. Serious, 2 years. Kaya had 2 years to think this thing over, see? He still refused. Terrible thing indeed. Zedekiah is going to end up with his eyes put out, his children killed, and a terrible thing. In fact, his sons are killed before him, and then the eyes put out after they killed him. Later on we'll see, but what a stubborn guy this is. Fourth month, the ninth day, the city was broken up. What do you think that would mean? What was that? Buildings all torn down and wrecked? What about Jerusalem in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ? What happened to Jerusalem shortly after his death, burial, and resurrection? About 40 years later. Burned the temple, didn't he? Titus, 70 A.D., came and just destroyed. I don't know what they think about Jerusalem. They want to destroy it, kill it, and knock the temple down and burn it to the ground. It's a terrible thing. And then in verse 3, the princes came in and sat in the middle gate after they broke the city up. A number of officers here, we won't go into the names, but all the residue of the princes, the king of Babylon, they came right in there and ran through the walls because the gate was open, and the people finally gave up and let them in. Let's read verse 4, 5, and 6 together. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them, and all the men of war, then they fled, and they went forth out of the city by night, and by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out of the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them, and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Right there in verse number 4. What happened when Zedekiah saw all these men come after him? He ran away. What did Jeremiah say? If you run away, what's going to happen? If you try to run, or try to defeat, or try to fight, he would die, and that the city would burn with fire. Didn't listen. And the men of war followed him. They went out, tried to get away. Was it in the daylight hours? It was by night. Tried to sneak out at night by the king's gate, tricked the two walls. And what happened in verse 5? Did the enemy see him? Did the Chaldeans see him? They caught him, and the army overtook him on the plains of Jericho. And what did they do when they found the king, Zedekiah? Brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to Riblah, the land of Hamath, and gave judgment. Now, what would that indicate? What would a judgment be? Decided his fate, it'd be a sentence, just like a judgment, whatever it be, for prison or whatever. And then in verse 6, was the king of Babylon kind? He wasn't. What happened to him? Slew the sons. Did Zedekiah see it, or was he somewhere else, right before his eyes? Slew, and what? Who else did he slew? Whom else did he slew? Slay. Whom else? Then to all the nobles, all the leadership, see? The king of Babylon had no mercy whatsoever. The devil inspired him and was behind him, and so on and so forth. Terrible, terrible travesty. Let's read verse 7, 8, and 9 together. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the house of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive unto Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city. And those that fell away, but fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. So in verse 7, now what happened? The sons were killed. Zedekiah was blinded. Any other Old Testament character that was blinded? Samson. He was blinded because of his sin, and he was made to grind wheat, and grind is a terrible thing. And so here he was blinded. Now, you and I who see don't understand what it means to be blind, do we? We really don't understand. We can think about it, we can close our eyes and just imagine, but to have the eyes closed permanently, terrible, terrible travesty. And this is exactly what happened to this king. Now, there's another condition. If he had obeyed Jeremiah, had gone out to the Chaldeans, given himself up, he would land up in Babylon in what condition? What is it? Good condition, whole, with his two eyes. What about his children? What about his wives? What about the nobles? See, but now he'd end up the same destination, but what was the negative downside? What did he not have? Didn't have his sight, didn't have his children, didn't have his wife, didn't have his own. See, the whole thing was down, down, down. You see, people that, what is it? He was in chains. That's right, he was bound in chains. That's right. It's a sad thing, isn't it? And it's going to be too late to wake up. Those that refuse to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Redeemer, and they die and go into the pangs of hell and suffering and torment too late. Oh, that they would believe the Word of God, that believe the voice of the Lord, just like Jeremiah, telling a straight story. What would happen if he does this? What would not happen if he did that? And a sad thing indeed. We can't force anybody to do anything, can we? We've got to be voluntarily. That's what it says in Revelation 3:20, that church of Laodicea. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. I stand at the door knock. So in verse number 6, he slew the sons, verse number 7, put out his eyes, nobles were killed. In verse 7 then, after he put out his eyes, he bound him with chains. Alright, so do you think a blind man could get very far? Why do you suppose he put him in chains? Further humiliation? Absolutely. Just because here was the king, probably the king royal robes, so all the people could see, well, this is a terrible king, blind and stumbling around in chains. Terrible disgrace, wasn't it? Carry him to Babylon. And what did the Chaldeans do in verse 8? And that was a great house, I'm sure, a grand house with gold and silver and brass and all the different things. What else did he burn? The house of the people, that's right, with fire. And break down the walls of Jerusalem, terrible thing. See, this is what Ezra and Nehemiah came back after 70 years to find. The house was burned down, the temple was burned down, the walls were burned down. And Ezra and Nehemiah came back after 70 years to rebuild the walls and rebuild the temple and get things straight. Because it was broken down, walls of Jerusalem. Then in verse 9, what did the captain of the guard do? What else did he do? The rest of the people, Nebuzaradan, the rest of the people, the remnant that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to him, and the rest of the people that remained. In other words, he didn't spare any of them. Those that were in the city, those that fell and surrendered, he took all of them to Babylon. Let's read verse 10, 11. Let's stop right here at verse 9. Time is up, but do you have any other comments or questions before we close? What a lamentable situation and story this was tonight. Do you have other comments or questions? Well, if not, let's close then with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us a clear scripture in Thy words, in our Bibles. We thank Thee that Thou hast made it so clear about heaven, about hell, about obedience to Thee and the things that matter for eternity. We would ask Thee, Lord, that Thou wouldst take away our stubbornness, take away our vicious will against Thy word, against Thy will and against Thy words, and give us a compliant, suppliant, mellow heart to do what Thou hast told us to do, that our blessings may attend us, that Thy blessings may be upon us, that Thy will may be our will, that we may be blessed of Thee in the days in which we have to live in this earth. We ask that Thou mayest use us to win others to our Savior and bless our ministry. We pray, Lord, that we may not be as this king that was wicked and wrong. We ask Thee for strength like Jeremiah to continue to speak Thy word regardless of the consequence to him. We ask thee for each family represented here. Thou knowest our needs. Thou knowest what we have in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our souls, and our bodies. Meet our needs, Lord. Those that are here, those that are listening in other places, that our Savior may be glorified this week in all that we do and say. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.